And the readings for today on which Phil's talk is based is taken from Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 1, verses 1 to 5, and chapter 2, verses 13 to 17. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. All this is evidence that God's judgment is right, and as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you are suffering. But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers, loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, David. Good morning, everybody. I want to start by saying a big thank you to the people who helped decorate the church. Both out, inside and outside, and it's obviously very appropriate to Remembrance Sunday. And I wanted to start by looking into the history and significance of the poppy. Now, most of you probably know all this already, but it might be a good reminder to us, because sometimes when these things come around every year, you know, as Christmas does and these are the festivals, we sometimes lose some of the original meaning. So I've done a bit of research. The producers of the poppy say this: "Our red poppy is a symbol of both remembrance of the past and hope for a peaceful future. The poppy is a well-known and well-established symbol, one that carries a wealth of history and meaning with it. Wearing a poppy is still a very personal choice, reflecting individual experiences and personal memories. It's never compulsory, but is greatly appreciated by those who it is intended to support. But what is the inspiration and history behind the poppy becoming a symbol of remembrance? During World War I, much of the fighting took place in Western Europe. The countryside was blasted, bombed, and fought over repeatedly. Previously beautiful landscapes turned to mud, bleak and barren scenes where little or nothing could grow. There was a notable exception to the bleakness, the bright red Flanders poppies. These resilient flowers flourished in the middle of so much chaos and destruction, growing in the thousands upon thousands. In the spring of 1915, shortly after losing a friend in Ypres, a Canadian doctor, Lieutenant Colonel John McCrae, was moved by the sight of these poppies, and that inspiration led him to write the now famous poem, In Flanders Fields, that goes like this. In Flanders fields, the poppies blow between the crosses, row on row, that mark our place. And in the sky, the larks, still bravely singing, fly scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved. And now we lie in Flanders fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you from failing hands we throw the torch. Be yours to hold it high. If ye break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders fields." This poem then inspired an American academic named Moina Michael to adopt the poppy in memory of those who had fallen in the war, and she campaigned to get it adopted as an official symbol of remembrance across the United States, and worked with others who were trying to do the same in Canada, Australia, and the UK. Also involved in those efforts was a Frenchwoman, Anna Gourin, who was in the UK in 1921, where she planned to sell the poppies in London. And there she met Earl Haig, founder of the Royal British Legion, who was persuaded to adopt the poppy as an emblem of the Legion in the UK. The Legion, which had been formed in 1921, ordered 9 million poppies and sold them on the 11th of November that year. The poppies sold out almost immediately. That first poppy appeal raised over £106,000 to help veterans and with housing and jobs, which was a considerable sum at the time. In view of how quickly the poppies had sold and wanting to ensure plenty of poppies for the next appeal, Major George Howson set up the poppy factory to employ disabled ex-servicemen. Today, the factory in the Legion's warehouse in Aylesford produces millions of poppies each year. Today, 40,000 volunteers distribute 40 million poppies. So I think this poppy is a really important symbol. Now, a symbol is simply something that represents and stands for something else. So especially a material object representing something abstract. So it's something we can see and touch, but it represents something much deeper, something more profound. So here we have this little small red and green and black object, but it represents the cost and sacrifice of war, but also the hope of a peaceful future. So it prompts us to look back at the horrors of war, but also prompts us to look forward with hope. And I think this is really important, this dual looking, of looking backwards and looking forwards. Acknowledging the pain of the past, while also having hope for the future. It's what we do when we come to our confession. We acknowledge how we have messed up and how life has messed us up as well. Jesus asked us, remember, to pray for those who have sinned against us, acknowledging that sin isn't just something that we do, but is something that affects all of us. And then we look forward with hope, knowing that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins. So this dual looking backwards and looking forwards, also seen in this morning's reading, the Apostle Paul's writing to the church in Thessalonica, and he acknowledges the difficulties and the painful situation that they have been through, but also that they are continuing to go through. He writes about their perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials that they are enduring. Paul is aware that this little church, this small group of Christians, is having a hard time. They are really struggling. They have been through very difficult times. But this part of the letter also looks forward with hope. Paul writes, "May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word." So he mentions eternal encouragement, the type that only God can give. He talks about good hope. This is looking forward and trusting, or we might call it faith. And he talks about strength, because we gain strength when we have hope for the future. Paul doesn't deny that things have been and continue to be difficult, but this is in the context of hope for the future. Now, the pessimist and the cynic in us, perhaps, or out there, might say, well, what good is hope? What good is waiting for good things in the future? It's now that's important. It's how I feel now. It's my situation now. But how we are in the present is hugely impacted by our view of the past and the future. Being present in the moment is important. If you only live in the past, either with nostalgia or regret, then you miss out on the here and now. And if you only look to the future in a sort of daydream state and don't face the reality of the past and the present, then that future that you dream of is just that, a dream. It's empty and unreal. But if you're able to reflect well on the past and look to the future with hope, then we can live well in the here and now. The poppy asks us to look back at the worst and most painful parts of our history. And this honest, sober reflection of the past then enables us to look forward with the determination not to repeat those mistakes, but to seek a peaceful future. Now, I'm going to say it. Deep breath, everybody. Brexit. Debate. But I was thinking about this the other day, and how if this had happened, say, 200 years ago, then the likelihood is that this country would now be at war. That might seem far-fetched. But in history, when one tribe of people stands up against another tribe, when one says leave and the other says remain, it would not be long before weapons are wielded and lives are lost. Hundreds of lives. Because throughout history, this is how disagreements have been solved. This is how national political decisions were settled. Who has the most weapons? Who can wield the most violence? They are the winners. And that's why I think the archbishops and others reacted so strongly to the language that was used around this debate. Because it's not just about words. Those words lead to actions. Human history shows us clearly where this kind of language and rhetoric leads. It's not long before someone picks up a weapon. So it's nothing short of miraculous that we're able to have these kind of debates and disagreements without war. This is new. In human history, this is new. The Brexit debate may be long and boring, but it's certainly preferable to war, to thousands of lives being lost. So looking back is important. The symbol of the poppy invites us to look back, to remember, and to look forward with hope. And another symbol that prompts us to do this, in a similar and yet even more profound way, is of course the cross. And we have it here behind me. The poppies and the cross together. The cross asks us to look back at Jesus' death. And in that death, we don't just see one man dying, but the whole of human suffering and death. But the cross also asks us to look forward to new life, to new hope, and to new dawn. And this isn't just wishful thinking for a fluffy heaven after we die. The resurrection was done in the flesh, in the real world. Jesus comes to Timothy and says, "Touch me, feel these scars, the human flesh in the here and now." The resurrection is not just hope for the future. It's hope and transformation for the here and now, on earth as in heaven. The hope of the future impacting how we act and speak, how we do life, how we do church, how we do work and relationships, how we live in the here and now. Because here and now is all we have in one sense. But we need to reflect honestly on the past, to bring before God and say sorry when we've messed up, to repent and turn away from those things. And then we can look forward and move forward with hope. Hope in Christ. To know that the future is secure in God's hands, won through the death and resurrection of Christ. That all things will be redeemed and reconciled and made new in him. The poppy and the cross invite us to look back and reflect and to look forward with hope. As St. Paul puts it, "May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word." Amen.